Well, let's welcome in Alan Mitchell, the lowdown with Low Tide every day here, 12 o'clock to 2. Good morning, Al. How jacked up are you for game number one tonight?
Well, it's going to be a great one. A couple of years ago, the first game one against LA wasn't so good. Last year, better. I think that this is going to be a lot of fun. And watching both Winnipeg and Vancouver win last night was, you know, it kind of got the juice flowing. I'll be honest, you know, you the season is long and you're like, okay, now the playoffs. But once they dropped the puck and I watched what was a wild game in Winnipeg, I just was like, I immediately in anticipation mode for tonight's game.
Well, you mentioned the first game last year. The Kings ended up winning 4-3 in overtime. The Oilers came back to even the series at Rogers before L.A., you know, took a 2-1 lead in game number three, but then the Oilers reeled off three straight wins. I'm assuming you expect another very tight series in this one.
Yeah, I think, you know, the Kings are in a period of transition. So the storylines I'll be looking for are the young players. They've got some really good young and strong and talented players. And that is a little wrinkle that maybe wasn't even there a year ago. And then the other side of it is, I think from the goaltending point of view, the Kings are entering this series second best, and that's not always been the case between these two teams. So those two things will play out. There's obviously the Evander Kane injury, but my guess is this series is a little less difficult for Edmonton this year. We'll see.
So, Evander Kane with the sports hernia, we'll learn more about that as the day goes on. And Dylan Holloway now on that third line with Ryan McLeod and Corey Perry. What a wonderful opportunity for a young player that could make massive strides with a big, big performance. He's starting tonight in game number one.
It's huge, and it's also huge that Ryan McLeod is being trusted to carry a line, you know, an important one, a third line. Mm-hmm. He's really blossomed as a two-way player. Holloway gives them, you know, Holloway's not a shy violet. He's a young player, but he is a physical player. He can get in and win battles. And of course, Corey Perry will do anything to win. So that trio is going to be important. And I'm interested in seeing both McLeod and Holloway have the kind of speed that will back up defensemen. And once they're in the zone, Perry can do, like, he can really do magic. He's he's old as the hills and twice as dusty, but he's really a great player inside the offensive zone.
So Corey Perry will, unless something crazy happens here, will crack 200 career playoff games. That's 22nd all time. Right now he's at 196. He has offered a calmness, and also when you say the word calmness, he also pushes the level and gets everybody into the game all in the same breath. How much of a factor do you think he'll be here in the playoffs?
Well, I think it'll be a major factor because the Oilers, you know, often ease into games and are often the second most physical team on the ice early in games. But Perry's the kind of player who will, you know, there's a way that players like Corey Perry, they sort of make a run or make a physical play early in the game, and it ratchets up the game and gets the attention going. But he's more likely to be the instigator. I don't mean taking an instigator penalty. I mean, he's more likely to instigate the physicality, and then, you know, the entire game switches and everybody's more engaged. I think he's the guy who will not allow the Oilers to be sleepy tonight.
Yeah. You know, in the last two playoff series, as we're with Alan Mitchell, it's kind of odd in the sense that, you know, the Oilers won in 7 2 years ago, won in 6 last year. But in those 13 games, the home team only won 6 times. What does that tell you?
Well, I think they're both teams were, I'll put it this way. I think the Oilers were on their way in both of those years to the team they are now. The goaltending was not certain in both years, in different ways. It's more certain now. I think that Los Angeles had more certain goaltending, less certain for them now. And the Kings are now the team that has some young players who are, you know, Ken Holland has constructed a roster where very few young players, you know, Skinner's in his second year. Certainly Evan Bouchard is now established. Ryan McLeod is established. Holloway would be the one young player. But, you know, Byfield, other Kings are young and unproven. So those elements I'm looking for, like sometimes, you know, this series could end up, Kevin, being the Los Angeles Kings youth emerges. And that's a storyline that could happen. Also, it's possible that the Oilers' goaltending is clearly superior, and that becomes a storyline. But this is not an easy out. I think it's the easier out of the two between Vegas and L.A. That Edmonton could have faced. But this is going to be a series. They're, you know, Drew Doughty is a physical guy, and Mikey Anderson's a like a nasty bit of business. And I will say that if the Oilers do emerge, I expect them to, but if they do emerge, it'll be a physical series, and it will take a toll.
Oh, it's going to be a physical series. Yeah, Drew Doughty's a big game player. Every time there's a big one, he comes up and elevates his game. The one concern for me is it looks as if Carl Grundstrom's going to be healthy enough to play, and on a fourth line that will be as big and as tough and as rumble as you can get with Pierre-Luc Dubois and Quinton Byfield. If that's could be a fourth line matchup that the Oilers have to face. How much havoc can that fourth line wreak? And also, Alan, do you think that fourth line can play against one of the Oilers' top two lines?
Well, I think it's not the fourth line.
Well, you know,
I it's like Vegas, right? Remember Vegas? Everybody's talking about Vegas's fourth line. Well, it wasn't the fourth line. You know, they were playing, in terms of minutes played, they were playing more. And I do think that you'll see more that line more often than some of the other ones. The issue that the Kings have is that they straight up skill, they're not going to win the series. So what do you do if you are a team that isn't as skilled as the other side and maybe doesn't have the goaltending edge? You have to muck it up. You have to make it really uncomfortable. So I expect that line to be playing a lot. I expect them to be forechecking, heavily punishing Evan Bouchard and the other defensemen who are trying to make a quick play to get the puck out of the zone. The race back to get the puck when Evan Bouchard is on the ice is going to be a major story in this. And I suspect we'll see a lot of times one of those big forwards barreling in on Bouchard. And even if he makes the play, they're going to punish him. He's going to have a very, very difficult time in this series.
What do you make of the play of Victor Arvidsson, and how much of a factor, and how much would the Oilers have to key on a guy who always seems to score big goals?
Well, that's it. And he's like, the only question you ever have about Arvidsson is his health. Is he okay? Is he 100%? And if he is, then he's one of the real going concerns. And it's easy to forget about him because, you know, depending upon the year, he has been, you know, not around at times. But when he's healthy and when he can play, he's high skill on a team that has enough of them to make you make a line match sometimes difficult, I guess, especially on the road. But even here in Edmonton, you know, they've got players, and he's one of them. And I think he's one of the most skilled guys on the team.
So have you noticed a massive change in the way the Kings play since Jim Hiller took over for Todd McClellan?
In all honesty, I think if whenever there's a coaching change, and I'm going to guess here and say that it was, you know, around game 50 or so, there's an upsurge in everybody pays more attention. There's a greater attention to detail. So I've noticed that, and I don't know whether it's the coaching change or just the natural progression that happens when the coach gets fired. And there's that guilty feeling the players sometimes get, I believe. And so they played, I think, with more structure or at least more attention to detail. I don't know specifically if it's Hiller or not, but I've seen that.
Conversely, do you think that Oilers head coach Chris Knobloch tries to get away from any matchups that Hiller might, i.e. Deneau versus McDavid?
What I've noticed, and I've written about it and I've talked about it, is that I think Knobloch is a coach, unlike some of the previous coaches that have been here under Connor McDavid or during the Connor McDavid era, he's more interested in getting his lines out often enough for them to keep them fresh, but he's more aggressive with the McDavid line, with the Draisaitl line, even with the McLeod line. So I think you'll see them run with five-man units. I think you'll see them outlet using the middle of the ice a little more. Those are all innovations from Knobloch. But I think he's less likely to worry about matchups and more likely to make certain that Connor McDavid gets the exact amount of ice time that he can be efficient in and flourish in. That seems to be the way that Knobloch runs his bench.
Alan Mitchell with us on Sports 1440. Is it a 100% given that Cam Talbot starts in goal? And if he does he have a shorter leash? Because every time David Rittich plays against the Oilers, he seems to play quite well.
That's a great point. And you never know. And there's a little bit of gamesmanship there, I think, possibly on the LA side, because, you know, I'm certainly talking about Talbot as being, you know, the guy played over 50 games, I believe, this year with Los Angeles. But you're right about Rittich, who overall has a better save percentage and was 13-6 with the Kings. So I think it would be unusual, but I also think that if you're, you know, constructing a way to win against the Oilers, then Rittich, who has, as you said, had success in the past and had a really good year in 23-24, that might be an option. I'm not going to say that all four goaltenders will play in this series, but I would not be surprised if all four goalies played in this series.
Alan Mitchell with us. Everyone knows, you know, what Leon Draisaitl's done in the playoffs. Connor's been a great playoff player, and Zach Hyman, and you can go down the list. Is there someone on the Oilers roster, a lesser light, that you might say that this is a guy that's going to have a great playoff, a great series against the Kings, someone that maybe is going to catch your eye that you think will be a handful for LA to handle?
If he gets to play and gets to play a lot and often and gets into games, I think Connor Brown could be a player that people aren't thinking about right now. Among the players who are on the ice and certain to play, you know, big enough or bigger minutes, I think Warren Fogle, even though he's on the second line and maybe it would be, you know, unfair to say, well, he'd be a surprise. Fogle has a lot more skill than sometimes it appears. He can go into stretches and hot and cold streaks, but if he gets hot, Warren Fogle, for me, might be a key player in this series and during the postseason.
You know, Al, we'll have an interview. I did a one-on-one with Warren practice on Saturday, and one of the things he mentioned, and he never, I've done two or three one-on-ones with him this year, and he never ever mentioned it, but, you know, we did address the fact that he scored 20 goals, but he had guys, i.e. McDavid, Draisaitl, and Hyman, tell him in the offseason, you got to shoot more, you got to shoot more. You can score 20 goals in this league. You got to understand that. He never, ever said that until on Saturday. So it's a big deal. That was a big deal for him to get 20, and all the teammates were extremely, extremely happy for him. Just one quick one. Stu Skinner, ready for this?
Yeah, I think he is. I think people are worried about him, and I would not worry about him. He's one of those goalies. I guess he maybe, you know, we could compare him to Grant Fuhr in this way, that it does not, like, I think he can have a bad outing in this series, and he may well, but I don't think that last year will impact him at all, and I think he can recover quickly. I think Stuart Skinner is a really good NHL goaltender.
Yeah. Alan, thanks for this. Do you know what's cooking on your show here at 12 o'clock on Sports 1440?
You bet. We have Rachel Dory. We're going to talk about the Oilers series, also about that Wild Jets series, and whether or not Toronto can find a goalie in time to make that a series. We'll also talk to Jason Greger about the Oilers and what's going to happen the night of the big Game 1. Yeah. And then we'll talk NBA, NFL draft, Major League Baseball. How's your team doing in the Edmonton Rotisserie League, by the way?
In the Edmonton Rotisserie League, I am in fourth spot right now. So not bad. I'm 2 points out of second. So I'm just hanging in there. But I got a lot of injuries coming up, Al. Too many.
Right. You've room to grow is what you have.
Yeah. The American League is a different story. However, you should have come in our fantasy frenzy baseball draft. I'm sure I'm going to get a text from Playbook Vic here, because we go points per week, and I was a clean sweep, 10-0 over Playbook Vic. That doesn't happen. It's the first sweep in the history of the league.
Wow. So you will never hear from that poor fellow again.
Oh, no, he'll be texting in today, Al. He'll be texting in today. Hey, thanks, big guy. We'll chat soon. Enjoy the game tonight.
All right, my friend. You be good.